With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast World Cup Daily. Day 28 of World Cup 2018 is done. Brian Strauss and I will be talking about that as part of our podcast coming to you daily from Russia through July 15th. Just a small request, it would be a huge help if you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. It helps people find us. In this episode, I'm also joined by former Spanish star Gaizka Mendieta. Onward! Let's bring in Brian Strauss, who is still in St. Petersburg.
Still! I'm at the Hotel California.
But coming back to Moscow tomorrow, we're going to talk now about tonight's semifinal. Croatia 2, England 1 in extra time. This was a more dramatic game than the one we saw last night, I thought. What was your sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the game last night, which I was lucky to be at, was high level, you know, professional, tactical, cagey. This was kind of a bit more chaotic. These are teams that didn't necessarily expect to be here. You know, England started strong and obviously wilted and really had trouble stringing passes together from halftime on. Croatia is just like a bunch of Terminators. They didn't use any subs, man. I mean, they played the equivalent of an entire extra game in this tournament. Yeah. They're just a team of monsters. And yeah, it was chaotic and obviously you know, decided on a play in overtime by Mandzukic that just caught England just a touch flat-footed, and he did what center forwards are supposed to do. And maybe that'll be the difference in the final. One team has their center forward who brought his finishing boots to Russia, and the other does not. Although I still think France is going to win. But no, it was a good game. England, I who knows how the English are going to handle this, but wonderful tournament. I reinvigorated, I think, what a lot of people thought is possible in an England team with an England manager, like sort of environment, some progressive tactics, just an overall sort of attitude and chemistry that they showed. Not something we've seen from an England team in a long, long time. They should be proud. But I think Croatia, you know, front to back was the better team and deserves to be in the final.
Yeah, for me, I mean, so much of this game, the two goals for Croatia comes down to specific moments. And how often have we seen in big games over the years just fractions of a second when someone anticipates better than the other in the box, that makes the difference. And that was the case on both Croatian goals. You know, Ivan Perisic was so good in the second half, and he just beat Kyle Walker to the ball for the header on the first goal that equalized. And then another Man City defender, John Stones, gets beaten to the ball by Mandzukic after Stones just switched off for a second. And Perisic, once again involved, gets the ball to
on that header, yeah,
to Mandzukic. So, you know, for me, I remember spending all this time with Chicharito for my book chapter, and we talked a lot about anticipation and the things that he does to try and get on the ball in the box ahead of a defender, and he's, you know, just like any means possible. But the fact is that a really good goal scorer has a nose for it, but it's not an accident that they so often get to the ball a split second before a defender does, and they do all these different little tricks to do it. And Mandzukic, who, to be honest, has looked like a Rector set man often during this tournament, he doesn't move smoothly even when he's, like, healthy. Like, he got to that ball and knew what to do with it, and it's just so impressive.
Every Croatian must have, like, 8 pulled muscles. Every single one of them. I mean, look, even at the level I played, you know, you've got stuff hammered into you when you're a striker from an early age about, you know, don't assign probabilities to things. Just expect the defender to miss, because if he does, you won't be surprised. There was a play Oh, there was a play this is weird to be critical of Lukaku, who just had a wonderful tournament, but he had no service all night, and then finally there was a cross that came into him last night, and it like bounced off him, and it looked like it caught him off guard, because nothing else had come near him for the entire game. And that's so difficult to sort of put yourself in. Yes, there's a 1 in 20 chance, a 1 in 30 chance, the defender will misplay this, this ball may come my way, he may head it into my path. But you just kind of train yourself to assume that that's what's going to happen. I don't know how else to put it, but it's just part of playing that position. Then, of course, at this level, it's 1,000 times more complicated, and the fine margins you're talking about, and the explosiveness required, and the anticipation required is even on a logarithmic scale much higher. But that even at a lower level, you sort of think about those sorts of things, and how could this wind up on my foot? No matter the sort of the low probability of it. And so I like goals like that. I like strikers who anticipate that, think that way, and think, get on the ball, shoot right away, don't dither, don't mess around. You know, where can I put myself in position to get a shot on frame? And I loved both goals for that reason.
I was actually thinking of Lukaku as well. It's funny. And I think there were actually two moments against France when Lukaku was sort of caught off guard when he should have had a better strike on the ball. In the box, and that kind of stuff makes the difference in these games. And I don't know what it says about Croatia now that they've come from behind in all three knockout round games, but they did that against Denmark, they did that against Russia, and now they have done it against England.
Against good defensive teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, these aren't teams, it wasn't like they came from behind against Argentina, you know? They came from behind against teams that were about structure and defending and sort of starting from strength in the back and playing from there. And so to do again, you've brought this up a few times, and obviously I'm sure we'll delve into it more in the next few days. But this team, this program, this federation is total chaos and firing coaches. Lawsuits. You know, I was reading an article today about how like a lot of Croatia doesn't even like Luka Modric,
right?
Because he was involved in the Dinamo Zagreb trial, and you know they fired their coach, as you've mentioned a couple times, just you know right at the end of qualifying. I mean, they've done everything wrong. And when we look at, you know, I wrote an article at some point in the past month. No days don't matter anymore. About sort of the way we look at World Cup teams that are successful in World Cups and teams that win World Cups and look to copy them, right? Look at them as blueprints going forward. There's nothing about nothing that represents any kind of blueprint or checklist, and yet here they are, and it's the World Cup of chaos. You have a team that was supposed to be here for which nothing less than an appearance. At the Luzhniki on Sunday would have been acceptable, and that really never left second gear to get there. And then you have a team that has no business being here for all the aforementioned reasons, and yet through just sheer immensity of will and effort and resilience has got there. And it's obviously, I think they're the 13th different country to make a World Cup final. I think maybe 14, but I think 13. And they're the first Eastern European team to make a World Cup final since 1962, I believe, when Czechoslovakia, which is not even a country anymore, made it. So we're getting a World Cup of continuity and a World Cup of change all meeting together on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a good article in The Guardian by Alexander Holiga that I suggest everyone read about Croatia, and he's one of the authorities on Croatia, basically saying what you're saying, which is... In the media, we always want to show what's a model for success, and we want to be able to explain in rational terms why this positive thing is happening results-wise on the field. And basically, his story comes down to this federation in Croatia is chaos. Their youth development is really not that well organized. They fire their coaches all the time, and... there's no explanation really that can be used as a model.
Yes, corruption. There's, I mean, obviously Luka Modric is obviously a generational player, and so that you've got some talent up there alongside him. they had a tough group, obviously. They have not had a, you know, they have not on paper had tough opposition in the knockout stage. And you could maybe look at their team and say that a team with that talent, with those names, has made tougher work of Denmark, Russia, and England than they should have. So the interesting thing now is, like, I was watching it, again, as I've said, my hotel does not get Russia 1. So I was watching around the corner at a bar with this guy, Alex. Remember I was talking about Leo, who is going to feed us the space borscht when I come back to Moscow? Well, Leo's friend, Alex, who I met here, and his wife, Masha, met up with me to watch the England-Croatia game, and they are awesome, and I appreciate their company. And now I lost my train of thought.
Did they give you any space food?
No, I've got the space borscht in my... Oh, I completely lost my train of thought. This podcast is over. I apologize. I'm completely fried.
It's okay, man. You're coming back to Moscow tomorrow. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the final as we get close to it between France and Croatia. I do want to talk about England a little bit more just because I think...
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. England.
They're a team that I think won over a lot of fans in England during this tournament with their youth, their preparation, their likability, their lack of a sense of entitlement. And they were just really refreshing to follow. And I think they won over a lot of friends or fans globally. You know, we've known these guys in the Premier League, but it's a different set of guys who are the stars of this England team than we've seen in the past. And I like them a lot. And I think they have a really good future ahead of them.
Well, but when you say we've known these guys in the Premier League, I mean, but even that, most of these guys are not the main players on their Premier League teams, you know?
In a lot of this cases, yes.
Yeah, this is a team of supporting cast guys in the Premier League who've come together and done this, and I think that's even more impressive. And I made a joke about a bad one, but about Southgate and Martin. Now you know I there's a part of me that would rather go to the third place game press conference. You know, like I'm just so impressed with these two guys, and I hope that, you know, I have. I can remember finals I lost in youth tournaments 25 years ago. I mean, you think about, even at the lowest level, you think about defeat and setback and frustration. And I can remember a penalty kick I missed in a shootout in a tournament in, like, West Virginia or something, and I'm 15. You remember this shit. But I hope they both go for it. I hope they both try to win bronze. The disappointment of a semifinal, the disappointment of coming so close, that's very real now. But in time, in 10, 15 years, you want to have taken that medal home. You'll want to have finished on a high note. And I think both these teams and both these countries and both these managers deserve that. I don't know, that bronze lining, so to speak. I mean, go get it, go win it. I like the idea. I think third place games in the Gold Cup are stupid, and obviously they went away. And most third place games are stupid. All third place games are stupid, except for this one, except for the World Cup. Finishing third in the world out of 211 or whatever countries. And I think both of these teams are good stories that don't have to end necessarily last night and tonight.
Is it bad that I don't like the World Cup third place game either?
No, we can have a different I guess my feeling is that when I think of a defeat from a long time ago, you know, it feels like anything. Time, you know, massages the way you feel about something. And I'd rather 20 years later have a bronze medal to toss around than nothing. I don't know. It's just how I feel.
I do think when you look at what England's doing, they're the under-20 world champions currently. They're the under-17 yep. world champions currently. Their fans are going to look at this as a pretty big missed opportunity to become senior world champions because they led in this game for many, many minutes.
They are the theme song champions.
Yes, they are the theme song champions as well. You know, there has to be a real sense of frustration here that this was a game they should have closed out.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, they were ahead. I mean, you could say that about every team that's ahead in every game, right? I mean, Croatia was the better team. So I mean, the better team won the game, and the team with bigger stars and bigger players and more experience won the game. You can feel bad about the fact that you were the team that took the lead, but in the end, you lost the game that you're going to lose, you know, 7 out of the 10 times you play it. So I have mixed feelings about that sort of approach. You know, you took the lead on a free kick. You didn't finish several chances. You've been struggling to score from open play the entire tournament. You're a good team that got some breaks, didn't have really, really tough opposition to get to this point. And you maxed out. You maxed out your potential. There's nothing wrong with that. Be proud of that. But I don't think it's weird to call it a missed opportunity, because they've already gotten much further than I think anyone expected, and they got as far or further than their talent would suggest they would.
Fair enough. I've enjoyed watching England in this tournament. I will look forward to watching the third place game. I figured that Harry Kane will get 4 goals and finish on 10 and win the Golden Boot.
Hasn't that happened before? Was it like Scalacci or like one of like like? There's been someone who, see, that's weird. Okay, so I feel like I'd rather have 20 years from now, I'd want the bronze medal. I would take it out of a drawer and look at it and be like, that's pretty cool. But it seems weird that you can like win the Golden Boot based upon what you do in a bronze medal game. I don't know if that sits with me.
I would be curious to see how many Golden Boot winners like ran rampant in the third place game.
Forlan? I wonder if Forlan scored a couple in 2010. Didn't their third place game against Germany end like with a football score?
Yeah.
Was it like 7 or something?
Correct.
I went to the third place game in 1994 at the Rose Bowl for free.
Okay.
Yes. So they were giving tickets away and I went. And poor Bulgaria had to fly. Okay, this is when a third place game blows chunks. This is when it's bad. Okay, so the Bulgaria Italy semifinal was a giant stadium, and the final and the third place game were at the Rose Bowl a day apart, and they made Bulgaria fly from New York to LA, which is in the opposite direction of Bulgaria, to play the third place game against Sweden, and they lost 58-0. And I went free.
Actually, I think my favorite third place game, aside from the Gold Cup one a couple years ago that the U.S. was in, where I was tempted to order like rounds of margaritas for all the people in the press box
that's when I broke into the Philadelphia Union's kitchen.
And nobody cared about that game.
Nope.
My other favorite third place game moment was the Women's World Cup in 99, where they played it right before the final in the Rose Bowl between the U.S. and China, and it was going to go to extra time between Brazil and somebody. And they just said, screw it. We're not going to play extra time. We're going to go straight to penalties.
Nice. Yes, the World Cup should also do that. Well, I don't know. Actually, I take that back. It doesn't matter what I think. They're going to do what they're going to do. But anyway, props to Belgium. Props to England. You know, I hope they can gather themselves and try to go out on a high on Saturday. It'll be interesting. Maybe what I was going to say when I was talking about the bar was sitting there looking at Twitter and seeing people tweet, everyone trying to come up with a different joke about how France was watching this. And it, you know, showed people in lounge chairs and pools and you know, munching on popcorn and just sort of relaxing, watching Croatia just grind themselves into dust trying to get to the final, while France not only has had an extra day of rest, but like I said, I mean, have they really had to work that hard? You know, they've sort of coasted toward the final as much as anyone has ever coasted toward a World Cup final. And so that contrast, I think, is going to be something we'll probably beat to death over the next few days, too. I'm feeling energized, man.
Good.
Like I hit rock bottom last night. I had a horrible night. And it's like, that's like cathartic. It's cleansing. It's like everything goes wrong. And you wake up the next morning and you're like, that sucked. It can't get worse. And I'm on the up, you know, and I'm going to come back to Moscow and we're going to go to the final and we're going to eat space borscht. And it's like, I feel reinvigorated. I could do this again. I could do another World Cup starting right now.
I am knocking on wood as you say this. I don't believe a word you're saying about doing another World Cup.
That last part was total horseshit. That's true. But everything else was, no, it's like you have that moment of cleansing. Like, look, you're working this hard for this long under these kinds of circumstances, and you're just gonna have a night where it all unravels. And it's like, now, I don't know, it's like now you wake up the next day and you're out of the chrysalis, and yeah, and you feel good. And I enjoyed the semi tonight, and I'm excited to go to a World Cup final. Like, that's crazy. I'm fired up. I just hope I don't miss my train, because that would suck. So I got to finish my little preview for the final that I'm doing, for SI.com, like a first look. Here's who's playing, you know. And oh, one last thing. Deeply, deeply disappointed tonight that Croatia did not wear their checkered jersey. What is the friggin' point of having a jersey that awesome if, like, the comatose stooges at FIFA won't let you wear it?
They've worn it once the entire tournament.
There is no reason they couldn't have worn that. And I even looked it up. There have been games before where Croatia has worn the red and white checkers against a team wearing white. And you know what? The sun rose the next day. If this final isn't France in blue, white, red, and Croatia in checkers, I got nothing. I got no threat I can make. But I'm gonna be sad.
This is where I remind everyone that Brian Strauss is the Andre Leon Talley of American soccer. Look up Andre Leon Talley. I want to get a picture of the two of you together at some point. I think it would make for a fun picture. I have to go record our Fox World Cup Tonight show. Wait, here comes Alexi Lalas.
Wow.
Hold on. Any thoughts on the end of your very long day?
I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going.
Trolling Alexi Lalas seems like a fitting way to end this podcast.
I didn't know where he was going with that until sort of the little tone at the end. And I was like, oh, I've heard that 18 million times in the past month.
All right, man. Look forward to seeing you in person here in Moscow. Let's call it a night.
Bye-bye.
Big thanks to Brian Strauss. Next up is my interview with Gaizka Mendieta. Let's bring in our interview guest for today on the Sports Illustrated Planet Football podcast. He is Gaizka Mendieta. He has played for the Spanish national team, for Valencia, for Middlesbrough. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
You're here talking to me on behalf of La Liga. So we're going to talk about La Liga in a little bit here. Yeah. I wanted to start, though, by asking you just, we are recording this right before the England-Croatia semifinal. We know that France is in the final. What are your thoughts on this France team and how it's made the final?
Well, I'd say that probably the four teams that reached the semifinals, I think, are the first best players, best teams. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday France performed, wasn't one of the greatest matches, but I think very, very solid, like they've been in the whole tournament. So today, England, Croatia, I think, although Croatia has a really good team, I think in terms of players, probably better performance in this World Cup than England, but it's 90 minutes or extra time, and whatever you've done before, it doesn't really matter. And I think England, he's been very good on maximizing especially set pieces, which has been key in this tournament, I think. So I think they've got big chances.
You're a great midfielder in your day. I want to ask you about Luka Modric. Mm. Terrific player, obviously, for Real Madrid. What is so special about him to you?
Well, I agree. He's an amazing player that we're lucky to have in La Liga. I think he's key also for Croatia. Mm. Alongside with Rakitic. I think, well, Modric probably ticks all of the boxes. His work rate is huge. He's not a defender, though with his talent. He's never worried about if he has to run back or track or defend. But I think sometimes because he plays in that sort of midfield holding, starting to build from the team, we miss a little bit of his talent. I think long shots are very good. He can score goals, I've seen many times.
Yeah.
And we don't see as many as probably we should. But yeah, like I said, ticks all the boxes. Work ethic, vision, passing, long, short. And like I said, he could even score goals if we play closer to the box, probably, yeah.
You used to play for the Spanish national team. Spain left this tournament earlier than many expected. I had predicted Spain would win the World Cup before the tournament. What happened?
Well, I was expecting also, like most people, to see Spain at least semifinals. I think especially the whole country was very optimistic because the way they play in the qualifiers. Probably the incidents before the World Cup kind of affected it probably a little bit
with
of the
manager.
Team. Yeah, the manager, because to find out most likely afterwards, but how attached he was to the players, and I think emotionally that would have an impact. In other ways, it's hard to say. I mean, easily they didn't play at the standards they should have, at the level they could play, at the level they play in the qualifiers. We haven't seen that in this tournament. So I think when you don't perform at your level, you're out. And I think Spain was struggling throughout the whole tournament. His first match was probably the best one against Portugal. I think we played probably half an hour really, really good football. But that was it. Then the games we didn't really perform at the level that I think, looking at the players we had, we didn't. So yeah, as simple as that.
Yeah. Your old club, Valencia, had a real improvement last season.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on that because there were a few years there, a few seasons where it looked really bad. And now it looks very promising suddenly again. You know, how did things change?
I think principally was the fact when the direction, the chairman decided to put football people in the club, like with Matteo Alemany and Marcelino. These two guys actually started to plan the season from the beginning, the players they wanted, trying to give a philosophy to the club, an idea of what football wanted to play. And I think that helped everyone. Fans, players, everyone to identify what Valencia was wanting to do, because the previous years, like you said, it was a bit of a not really knowing what the club really wanted to. I mean, it was very easy to say we want Valencia in the Champions League, but you have to do something to actually make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it was only last year when that started, and obviously playing only La Liga and the Cup has been helping the team to reach the fourth place or the Champions League spot. And hopefully, next year we'll see them there again. It's going to be tough because playing in Europe always comes with a price. But it's again happy to see Valencia in Champions League and happy to see Valencia in the top places of La Liga.
Yeah, obviously, big news yesterday for La Liga: Cristiano Ronaldo is leaving Real Madrid to go to Juventus. I certainly expect that Real Madrid will sign a pretty big name to replace him. What are you thinking will happen? Obviously, you don't know for sure, but it's Real Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, it's Real Madrid, and we've seen it before. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. He's not the first player at that level to leave Madrid, and it won't be the last one. Madrid, we know, always try to sign the best players, and I think in this case, for Real Madrid, Ronaldo played his best years, probably, of his career.
Yeah.
So I think both have to be thankful to each other in that way. But like we say, it's life moves on. Ronaldo probably has other expectations that Madrid maybe couldn't fill up, and he felt he had to move somewhere else. Like you mentioned as well, I don't think we'll have to wait too long to see what Madrid's next move is and see another great player signing for the club.
Yeah. So you were telling me before we started that you live in London now.
Yeah.
What has led to you living in England?
Well, when I finished playing for Middlesbrough, I decided I took a couple of years to see what I was doing with my next step in my life. And I started to work with Sky Sports, La Liga, and I started to do business in UK. The fact that my wife is English might help a lot as well. But yeah, I really like it. I really enjoy London, living in London. It's a great city. Not only football, but can offer you anything.
Yeah.
Music, I'm a big fan of music, and in terms of concerts, and I think it's a big part of the culture in UK, and especially London. So yeah, I really, really like it. That's why we decided to stay there. So not only business, but also life and pleasure.
Good stuff. Well, guys, Comendieta, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football World Cup Daily Podcast. I'd like to thank Brian Strauss and Guys Comendieta, as well as everyone at Cadence 13 and Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Please, if you like the pod, tell your friends, subscribe, like, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help the cause if you do, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.